If you were out and you were to find a tennis ball that Pastor Jeff had used, and Pastor Jeff had even signed, maybe Pastor Jeff played with, that tennis ball would be worth about, any guesses? I was going to say a dollar, okay. A dollar. If I signed it, maybe a dollar one, or maybe it's less, right? Maybe 99 cents. Okay. So anyways, catch it. All right. So anyways, now you have an extra dollar to add to your piggy bank. All right. So then, if you were to find a tennis ball that was signed by, say, somebody like Roger Federer, you might find that it's worth up to $1,090. All right. If you were to find a baseball that I had hid, a baseball that was signed, watch this. I'm going to even do this in front of you. Anybody want to take a picture? All right. All right, so we're gonna do this. This is not working too well. All right, who wants this one? If you were to find a baseball, I was gonna make fun if you did not catch that, man. If you were to find a baseball that was hit by me, that was signed by me, that had been in my hands, $5 maybe? Yeah, Kevin told me $2.50 yesterday, so. But if you were to find a baseball that was hit by Babe Ruth, a baseball that had his signature on it, a baseball that had been in the hands of Babe Ruth, that baseball could carry up to somewhere around $388,375. You see the difference? I think we can honestly say it depends whose hands things are in. Last week, we began our series on 1 Peter, and we looked at verses 1 through 2 of chapter 1. And we were reminded that we, if we are followers of Christ, we are in the hands of the Almighty God. So I want to recap what we covered last week. It says, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. We pointed out last week that what first is we belong to Him. Say that with me. I belong to Him. Say that with me, church. I belong. There we go. We belong to God, the chosen. And we also pointed out to the reality that this world is not our home. Say this with me. I do not belong here. I. All right. So, and that's the reality. We don't belong here. This is not our permanent home, our eternal home. Peter addresses the Christians. He calls them aliens or strangers residing in a foreign land. Our home, our eternal citizenship, if we've said yes to Jesus, is in heaven with our Lord, right? We're here temporary, and while we are here, there is going to be struggles. There's going to be hardships. Can I get an amen on that one, right? What do the old guys say? Can I get a witness, right? I'm not old, guys. Amen is, all right. So, all right. People are going to oppose you and what you do just for the simple fact that we follow Jesus. It's just a reality. It's just a reality. The people that Peter was writing to, they were experiencing firsthand, right? They were being persecuted. They were mistreated. They were abused, all because they followed Jesus. And Peter opened his letter to these churches. He's reminding them, hey guys, I know it's tough. I know what you're going through. Peter had been there and done that, and he was currently doing that. He's like saying, guys, I know, I get it, but you have to remember, you belong to the creator and sustainer of this universe. You belong to the God that sits on the throne over all things. And he reminds them, what you're going through right now is temporary. This world that is full of darkness, a world that is full of animosity towards those that follow Christ. Why? Because it's against Christ, right? Well, let's not take it personally. It's against Jesus, but it's temporary. You don't belong here. You belong to Him and with Him in heaven, and that's our eternal home. And then He reminds them that while they are here, because that was what we talked about last week. It's like, I belong to Him. I don't belong here. But guess what, Peter? I'm here, right? So help me out with that one. And He reminds them that while we're still here, while we are residing as strangers in a foreign land, He points out the God that you belong to, the God that values you, He's got it all under control. He's got a plan. And He also says the Holy Spirit is working, right? Pay attention to the Holy Spirit working and be obedient to the life that He is calling you to live, that Jesus is calling you to live. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. He doesn't say, and I'm going to give you just a little bit of, right, grace and peace. It's like, boom, you got it all, right? It's let it abound. God's got you. You are in His capable hands. And so Peter, he opens up and just gives him this word of comfort and hope as they're walking through hardships. And for us, these words are true, just as true as they were for them. If we have been saved, if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, God promises us that we are His. That doesn't get you excited, man. I don't know. I don't know how to help you with that one. But we need to rest in that truth that we are His. And after the opening, the first two verses, Peter in verse 3 says something that might seem a little bit out of place. That's until you read the following verses. So if you would, stand with me as we read from God's Word. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. If you don't have a Bible, we will have the words up here, but we do have Bibles there as well. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Give me a little bit of understanding of what this is. He's writing to Christians who were abused and persecuted. Some were losing their lives all because they followed Jesus. And it might seem like a really good time for Peter to kind of say, hey, let's get some prayer requests right now. Right? But instead, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Have you ever been in a group church where they kind of say, hey, let's get some prayer requests. Let's get some prayer requests. And then we close by saying, hey, right, let's get a praise report, right? Let's see where God has answered prayer. Let's find a way that we can give God praise. So it seems a little bit odd that we have this group of people that's really struggling. And then Peter just says, let's praise God. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray this morning. God, we love You. We thank You for the Word of God that we have in our hands. We thank You that You speak to us through the Word of God. Be with us today as we joined together earlier, as Pastor Jamie led us in that, to come together and just corporately and individually hear You. God, when we open up the Word of God, we should be compelled to do something each and every time. That's how powerful You are. So let's just not come here today just to say, hey, let's check it off the list. We went to church today. And we praise God that we can do that. But Lord, change us today. Speak to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn the light. There's an older song that has the words, "There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be." And the song goes on to say, "There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the One," speaking of Jesus, "who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be." This describes the day for those that have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. A day when there will be no more suffering, no more burdens, no more hardships. A day when we're no longer strangers in a foreign land. A day that we'll be home with Jesus where we belong. And Peter's writing to Christians that really could, they're probably singing that song. It's not that old, but they would be singing that song like, "Jesus, this is hard, man. I am dreaming of a day that I'm going to be with You." They're still here. They're not there with Him yet. They're still living in a world that's difficult, a world that lives a life that looks less and less like what Jesus is calling us to live as followers. And so Peter here, he begins to tell them, and he teaches us as well today, how can we live, why can we live and rejoice in the Lord, even in the midst of mistreatment and animosity and persecution. And I want us to notice here, he makes it very clear to whom our praise belongs to. Sometimes we put our praise in places they don't belong. And in this culture you see here that these Christians were living in, it was a pluralistic society. We talked about that last week. There were many false gods and false idols. And so Peter, he makes it clear that our praise, it doesn't go to this stone thing or this golden thing over here or something that we just kind of created, right? He makes it clear that our praise, the One that we need to lift up and praise, is not just any God of their choice or our choice. It is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He makes it clear, doesn't he? And he's saying our praise is to be directed to the Creator, the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. The same Father that Jesus talks to and refers to and reveals to us while walking this earth. And it is because of and through Jesus that we have access to the Father. If you know this verse, remember what Jesus says? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Finish that. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is the one that gets the praise, our Creator God. And He begins, and then He begins to tell them and to teach us that the God the Father deserves our praise at all times. In all circumstance, through good times and bad times, you know, easy times and times of trial. And that's hard for us to kind of swallow sometimes. Why? How does it make sense that God deserves my praise? I'm a fan of worldviews. What we see the world through, what our lens is, how we're seeing things. And Peter's trying to help them get the right pair of goggles on here. What's your proper perspective? How can we praise God when things are difficult, while we're still here? And Peter lays it out. And I want us to look at three reasons that will answer that question. Why do we bless or praise God at all times? And on that first note on the back of your bulletin, you've got those notes. We give God praise. Here's the first reason from our text. We give God praise. We praise God because He has been faithful to us. He has been faithful to us. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great what, church? His great mercy. The word mercy, it's a word of providence. God is providing. It's speaking specifically of kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and afflicted. That describes us pretty well, doesn't it? Right? I mean, but when we look back to Genesis chapter 3, follow along with me here. The Lord promised a Savior, and He was faithful in sending Jesus. From the moment that sin first entered the world, then He promised. And we'll talk a little bit about more of that later, but He promised and He was faithful in fulfilling that promise. He was faithful in His promise to us as sinners because of our sin. Here's reality, guys. Because of our sin, we are lost. We are separated from God. And I know this last statement is not popular, but we are destined for a place called hell. It's real. It's real, folks. The Bible talks more, it mentions more about hell than it does heaven. It was not designed for us. It was not created for us. It was created for Satan and his followers. But with sin in our lives, without Jesus, we are lost, separated from God, and destined for there. And God, in His faithfulness, He provides the only way. He provides salvation. Follow with me. Throughout the Old Testament, even when His people turned their back on Him, even when they disobeyed Him, even in their sin, God remained loyal and faithful to His Word and to His promises to them because of His great mercy. He remained true to them, to those that Peter is writing to here in the New Testament. This was a word of great encouragement to them. They, too, were not perfect. We could relate to them a little bit. Like us, they would have struggles in their walk with Christ. There's an old saying, it's really cheesy, but Christians aren't sinless, they should just sin less, right? And that's the idea. Jesus changes us so that we are pursuing Him to get rid of that sin in our life. But they still had sin in their life just like we do. And guess what? God remained faithful to them. They still belonged to Him. Their eternal home was still in heaven. Even when they messed up because of His great mercy, God remained faithful to them. Have you ever been working with someone that just gave up on you? Yes? Yeah? All right? Someone that said, hey man or woman, you've just messed up too many times. I've tried to work with you, but I just can't remain friends with you. I can't do life with you anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't teach you. I can't help you. I can't do this. And it really makes sense because as humans, even though we don't really want to do this, we tend to draw these lines. Anybody good at drawing lines? Right? It's like, I can handle this much. Come on, guys. You guys are with me, right? Right? We have lines. We don't want to, but we do. And we kind of say, man, I'm out. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. But with God the Father, we never hear those words. Amen? Right? We never hear these words. If you've given your life to Jesus and have been saved, you will not hear the words, be gone. You will not hear the words, I can't be your Heavenly Father anymore. You won't hear, I'm pulling the salvation card from you. Right? We don't hear those things. No, we hear from Ephesians chapter 4 that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. We hear from John chapter 10 that Jesus gives us the eternal life and that no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Woo! That's some good stuff, right? We can know that we serve a God that has been faithful. That's His nature. That's who He is. He is loyal. He is faithful. He is true to His Word. He's merciful to us. And when we live our life we can praise Him. Because even when we fall short, even when we mess up, even when we sin, and I say even when because we do, right? Even when we sin, even when the world around us is difficult and hard and unfaithful, He remains faithful. He has remained that way throughout all of history. I love what it says in Deuteronomy 31:6. It says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Regardless of the circumstance, He has and will always be faithful to those that belong to Him because of His great mercy. So we praise Him because He's faithful to us. Even when we jack up. I mean, think about that. We look at somebody else and we draw that line because they've messed up too many times. Aren't we grateful that God is faithful, right? That He doesn't draw that line. The second reason is this. We give God praise is because we have been born again. We have been reborn. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It was God's great mercy that made it possible for us to be born again. Sometimes we take that for granted. We get saved and then we sit in the pews and that's all we do. Or these comfy chairs, right? If we look to the gospel according to John, John tells a man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, from that same area, the same conversation where Jesus spoke those words, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish," finish that church, "but have everlasting life." And He says this to Nicodemus, He says this, "Truly, truly," Jesus says that twice, we better believe it, right? "I say to you, unless one is born again," there's those words again, "unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Our world teaches something different, doesn't it? Meaning, unless a person is born again, unless there is a new life given to us by God, one will not have eternal life with God in heaven. Without being born again, church, this isn't Pastor Jeff saying this. This is not just authentic life. This is the Word of God. These are the words of God. You cannot be part of the family of God without being born again. Scripture's clear about that. And that's why Jesus, you might say, "Man, that's so harsh." No, that's why Jesus, because of His great mercy, He pursued us. And He says so clearly, "I'm the way to make that happen. Stop making things so difficult. We've got a complicated world. You don't need to walk in a room where you've got to choose from 3,000 gods." No. Jesus says, "Let's make it easy. I'm it. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. So follow me, be saved, be born again. And then you, because you do that, will have eternal life with God the Father." When Jesus gave His life for us on the cross, He didn't stay there, did He? We get to celebrate that in, what, like a month, right? Jesus rose again, just as He said He would. And when a person gives their life to Jesus Christ, their next step is what, church? What's that next step? Baptism. Let's work on that one. The next step is? Baptism, right? And baptism is to identify with Christ and His church. Let me be clear. Baptism is not salvation. But and here's a side note. If you've been saved, if you've given Christ your life and have not been baptized, I hate to say it, that's disobedience. Are you guys with me? Right? We need to be obedient in that. You're not losing your salvation. It's not salvation, but it is something that we do to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And when you hear somebody thinking about Jesus dying and being buried and raising again, and somebody baptizes you, you hear them say, usually say something like, "Buried in the likeness of His," what? "Death. Raised to walk in newness of life." Newness of life. Baptism, it's a perfect picture of us dying to our old self, dying to our sin, dying to being slaves to sin. And when we come up out of that water, it's again a picture of one that has trusted Christ, one that's been born again, having eternal life, born again to a new life that is pleasing to Christ. That's the picture. Born again, dead, raised again. I saw a bumper sticker, and I've seen it twice around town, and it says this. It says, "I was born okay the first time." And I looked at that and I was like, "Huh, is that like a political statement? Is that like, what is this?" And as I parked in the same place that they did, and if you were to look at other stickers on their car, it was an obvious response to God, Jesus saying, "You must be born again." The problem with that statement saying that I was born okay the first time is, that's a lie from hell, church. That's a dangerous way of thinking. That's what Satan wants the world to believe, doesn't he? I mean, think about that. He's the father of lies. He's the great deceiver, and he wants you to believe that we're all hunky-dory. Right? He wants us to think, like, no worries. Just be a decent person, and it'll all work out in the end. You were born okay the first time. You don't need this Jesus. You don't need a new life because you were born okay the first time. The problem is all you have to do is look at the world around you. Heck, look in the mirror, and you see that that is a lie. You see sin. You see us mess up. Amen? Right? We just have to look around. Jeremiah 17. Going back to Jeremiah 17, it describes the heart of one without Jesus. And by the way, we don't get to point and look at somebody else. We were all born this way. Here's what it says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Pastor Jeff, that's Old Testament stuff. Well, here's New Testament. You ready? Mark 7, 21 through 23. This might as well just stuck with the Old Testament stuff. Here's what it says. For from within, out of the heart of man, ladies, you don't get off the hook. That means humans, mankind, okay? So you don't get to like nudge your husband, okay? Out of the heart of us come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within. They come from within you and me, and right? And they defile a person. So one cannot deny this. You see in the world around us and you see it in our lives. We were not born okay the first time, spiritually speaking. We need Jesus. We need to be born again. Peter writes on this a little bit later in verse 23. He addresses this. He says this, "For you have been born again." I love how he says this. "You have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable." The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Our lives with just one sin. Anybody committed just one sin? If you hadn't before, you just did, right? So our lives with just one sin separates us from our relationship with Jesus Christ. It separates us eternally from a perfect relationship with a perfect and holy God. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can be born again. Not to a life that's perishable, but to a life that is imperishable, eternal life. Not remaining in the life that the devil wants us to believe is just fine, but to a new life that is offered by God through Jesus' resurrection. It's permanent. It's unfailing. By the way, I need to throw this out there. The Bible's very clear. We must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be saved. We don't get away around that. That doesn't mean we completely understand it. That doesn't mean we have all the answers. But the Bible's clear. Romans 10. But we trust God. We trust those that witnessed it. We trust in the word of the Almighty God. And so last week, when we talked about belonging to Him, belonging to God, that is when we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. That, church, is when we're born again. That's when we have a new life. We are made new, a new life in Christ. I need you guys to hear me on this one. Getting to spend eternity with Jesus. Going to heaven when we die here. Our eternal life with God is not based on anything that you or I have done. You guys understand what I'm saying here? It is based on the reality that God, way back in Genesis chapter 3, when that first sin happened with Adam and Eve, He made that first gospel proclamation. He spoke way back then about a Savior that would crush the head of Satan and claim the ultimate victory over Satan's strongest weapon, and that was death. And He defeated that. Jesus, sent by the Father, He lived a perfect life, but He still willingly walked to the cross. He shed His blood. He died for you and for me. And He was buried. And then again, just as He said, He rose again. And when He rose again, He defeated death itself. So it is through Jesus alone that we are born again and made new. We are given a new life in Christ. Only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Side note. Actually, not a side note. I'm just going to repeat myself because it's that important. There is nothing that you or I can do, or anybody can do for us. There is no religious activity that you and I can do. There is not a religious parent that can do something for us that will give us eternal life. Nothing. Eternal life, a permanent home in heaven, that all happens because of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. We don't get to boast about any of that. And to have that, to be born again, it's pretty, gee, he makes it simple. By the way, do stuff, go to church, read your Bible, be kind, you know, all those things. But we do those things because we follow Jesus, not to follow Jesus. All we have to do is, here's how we're walking right now. We're walking towards ourselves, we're walking towards the world, we're walking towards our earthly desires. And Jesus says, repent. We turn away, change of mind, change of direction, and we start following Jesus Christ. We turn to Jesus. We confess with our mouths that He is Lord and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead. And the Bible says that you will be saved. You will be born again. That's when you get your new life and He becomes our Savior. Jesus becomes our Savior and we are born again and then we enter the family of God. Amen? He made a way. We didn't make a way. He made a way. He gave us a new life. So church, when the world around us is difficult, when there is persecution, when the world around us is pulling us to live a life that is contrary to God's Word. Young people, hear me clearly. You can decide if you're young people or not. All right? I'm not going to say which one that is. Even when teachers or friends or coworkers are pulling you in a direction and say, this is how you should go. Forget what the Bible says. Don't let that run your life. Forget all that stuff. We still praise God. We still be obedient to God. We still hang truth to the Word of God. Why? Because if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have been born again. And you look at it and say, okay, I might get picked on at school. I might not get this girl. I might not get this to happen. I might not get this job. But what you can say is I get to be part of the family of God. And then we can proclaim, I belong to Him and I don't belong here. I belong to God in my eternal home. Thank God is not here. It is in heaven with Jesus Christ. Church, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial, no matter the persecution, even if it calls us to walk to our death. I was watching a video. Don't do this, by the way. It was very, very disturbing. But I was watching a video of followers of Christ that were singing about Jesus and calling out to Him before they got their heads chopped off because they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus because He's a faithful God and because He gave them a new life. We can rejoice because we have been born again. We belong to a loving Savior and a faithful God that pursued us. And He made it possible. It's nothing that you and I have done. Our new life, our place in the family of God leads us, it compels us to worship and praise the Almighty God. So when we gather here to worship, when you're sitting at home on a Sunday morning and you just kind of think, man, I'd just rather, no, I don't mean this in a harsh way, get your butts out of bed and get into church with the rest of us to worship and praise God. Why? Because He deserves it, because He's given us eternal life. Amen, church? We've all been there, by the way. Man. Us being born again, being part of the family of God, it compels us to worship and praise God. And then the Bible tells us this, that we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a faithful God, right? We are born again and we have this living hope. Why? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Guys, we can praise God because we have a living hope. A living hope. What does that mean? We're going to contrast a little bit. The world offers us much. Some good, some bad. Young people, don't check out on me, okay? Do we have your attention? This world offers us much. Some good, some bad, some great, some evil. But all things, everything that this world offers us is perishable. Everything this world offers us is perishable. It will not go with us into eternity. I saw a procession or caravan of cars. It was part of a memorial service yesterday, part of a funeral. Border Patrol agent, I believe. There was no U-Haul following that. Are you guys with me? It doesn't go with us into eternity. It has a temporary shelf life. Yet we find ourselves Again, not saying it's good or bad. It could be, you know, either one. But we find ourselves being okay with temporary suffering, temporary displeasure, or even pain in hopes that we will receive a temporary reward. Let me explain what that means. You see athletes train hard, sacrifice lots of things, sacrifice what they want to eat. They endure pain. Why? So they can be faster, better, stronger, and go further. That's good stuff, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But sooner or later, the better, faster, stronger, going further fades away. We see students study hard. And by the way, don't hear me say don't study hard. Are we clear on that one? Sam's a teacher. Let's not do that, okay? Let's study hard. Let's do that. But you see students studying hard, sacrificing much, sacrificing time with friends or gaming times or TV time. Why? So they can get that high school diploma, right? So they can get that degree. They can get that scholarship. And that leads us to a great reward, yes, here on earth, but it's temporary, people, right? Because one day when we have breathed our last breath, that degree does nothing for our eternity. And so we are continually enduring for a temporary reward. But Peter says this, God's word says this. Hey guys, check this out. There is a living hope. A hope that is eternal life with God. A hope that He offers that will never perish, that will never fade away. It is pure. There is nothing bad or evil about it. A hope that is protected by the power of God Himself. This world offers us many things, good and bad, but they are all perishable. These Christians that Peter is writing to, they live in a world where it's difficult for them to hold a job because they follow Jesus. It's difficult to have friends because they follow Jesus. It's difficult, it's hard to have anything worth of any value because they follow Jesus. But Peter reminds them, your inheritance, what God has for you, your eternity in heaven, a personal relationship with the one that came and died for you, Jesus, your salvation, a new life in Christ, regardless of what happens around you, it is still there. Right? Like, it's still there. It's not going anywhere. You belong to Him. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit Himself. It's protected by the power of God. You still belong to Him. If you were to add up everything this world has to offer, we would still fall well short of what God has to offer you and what God has in store for you, all because you gave your life to Jesus, because you trusted in a faithful God and you were born again to live a new life in Christ. My dad used to say, I don't know where he heard it from, but if you is what you was, then you ain't. You ever heard that before? If your life is exactly like it was before you knew Jesus, you might want to check on that. Because Jesus, being born again, He calls us to a new life. And this hope is not I hope I hit a home run, or I hope I make the team, or I hope I make it into this school, or I get that job, or even I hope my retirement's still there 10 years from now, right? We are not guaranteed anything from this world. We can get a lot of amens out of that one, can't we? But we can have confidence that the hope we have, or in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's not a, I hope so, it's, I got it, right? It's a living hope, a hope that is protected by the power of God Himself. I could say that over and over again. It's protected by the power of God Himself, well past our life here on this earth into eternity. If you are here today and you find yourself focusing so much on things that this world has to offer, things that give us temporary pleasure, I'm just going to be clear. You will always leave with some sort of disappointment. Money will never be enough. Fame will never be enough. Authority will never be enough. Porn will never be enough. Sex will never be enough. That woman or that guy will never be enough. The power that we have is never enough. But Jesus, belonging to God, having a home with Him for eternity, that is enough. Amen, guys? Let me walk through that again. I want to make sure we get that. Money is never enough. Fame is never enough. Porn is never enough. Sex is never enough. That hot chick or that sexy dude is never enough. The authority and the power, whatever it is that we are chasing, it is never enough. But with Jesus, it's enough. Belonging to God, having a home with Him is enough. Do you know this Jesus? Do you belong to God? Are you just saying, hey man, He made me, so I'm part of the family of God? Bull, church, right? We have to be born again. Do you have this perfect living hope that is only found in Jesus? Or are we just continually pursuing and suffering for the things of this world? Getting a degree, getting a job, making the team, getting to the school, getting that boy or girl. By the way, I got the girl of my dreams, just so you guys know that. Points? Yeah? All right. But getting all of those things, getting that job, making the team, they're not necessarily bad. They can be great things, but that's not where our eternal hope lies, and the things of this world will never fully satisfy. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ and the one that brings eternal salvation. Here's the thing, church. There will be suffering. There will be persecution. There will be hardships, all because you follow Christ. Young people, you guys are going to suffer because you follow Jesus. Praise God for that. What? Praise God for that. We do have suffering for following Jesus, but we get to receive something that is beyond any other value, and it's for eternity because we are held in the hands of God. It is pure. It's an imperishable inheritance. It is pristine. It will never lose its quality. It will never fade away. Never lose its value. Silver has to be polished. Shoes has to be clean and then thrown away. Your new house or your car eventually loses that smell. Right, Jessica? We've talked about that. She's like, your car smells like boy. You know, right? Things lose their value. Flowers wither away. But when a born again person dies, they enter into the almighty presence of God into heaven. They will receive that perfect eternal inheritance that is protected by the power of the almighty God. And that reminder from Peter to these churches, to these Christians, for us, this was the reason they could praise God. This is why we can praise God, because of our living hope that's only available through Jesus Christ. Church, we have to remember that we are temporary residents in this world. Quit trying to please this world. Young people, quit trying to please the world. Old people, quit trying to please the world. Everybody in between. Let's stop seeking temporary worldly pleasure and relief and worldly hope. Knock it off, right? Talking to myself too. Stop it. But we fix our eyes on Jesus. We praise God and we keep our eyes fixed on Him. Amen, church? When we are working to get that diploma or degree, again, young people, parents, you're hearing me say this, okay? Go for the degree, get it, you know, do all the hard work if that's what God is calling you to do. But while we're working on those things, while we struggle or sacrifice, your eyes are on that diploma. Your eyes are on that degree. Your eyes are on that scholarship. Why else would you be sacrificing? When we work the long hours and we sacrifice other things for our job, you better believe your eyes are on that paycheck. Right? Why else would you be doing it? So, knowing that those are all perishable things, let's translate that into imperishable. As we struggle in this world, as we sacrifice, as we live the way Christ has called us to live, let's keep our eyes on the Lord, fixed on Him. And when we do that, we will have every reason to offer Him hope, because we have the proper perspective, because this world stinks, right? But we're going to live in eternity that is beyond our belief. And when we see, here's the other thing for us as believers, when we see another with no hope or joy in their life, you point them to this God that offers them mercy and faithfulness, a new birth, a living, eternal hope that is protected and held by the power of God. Let them know or remind them that our hope is not in everyday circumstances. Our hope is in Christ. I didn't ask permission, but there's a person in our church that lost somebody recently. And when I called them to have that conversation, it was a joyful conversation. Because she knew that her sister was with Jesus. That's the hope we're talking about. Trials will come. They won't stop here on earth, church. Amen? That was weak. Trials are here. Amen, guys? They're not going to stop. Because we live in a world full of sin and destruction. But church, even in our trials, we can and we need to praise God. Because even when you and I aren't faithful to God, He remains faithful to us. When we were dead in our sins, unable to make it or pay away or work our way into heaven, He made the way. He allows us that new life to be born again, a new life in Jesus Christ. And church, He alone provides a living hope, a real hope, a guaranteed hope that we can't find anywhere else or in anyone else. Men, you're not going to find it on the internet. Ladies, you're not going to find it in another man. People, we're not going to find it in our jobs. They're all temporary. Let's not place our hope on our lives in our lives in things of this world. Our hope lies in the hands, the capable hands of our Savior and Creator, God. Yes? So we praise God, and church, we can sing, "How great is our God." Amen? Let's pray. Father, you are beyond good. You are the definition of what is best. You provided us the gospel, which is the good news, the best news. Father, you have remained faithful even when we haven't. And all you want is us to just turn to you. We mess up, let's turn back to you. We mess up, we turn back to you. We sin, we turn back to you. You are faithful. And you give us mercy. Father, you have made a way through Jesus Christ to give us a new life in Him, to put away our sin. We're still going to mess up, but we're still saved. We're secure in the hands, the capable hands of God. And Father, you offer not a temporary, worldly, fleshly hope like the world offers. You offer eternal, perfect, living hope. And God, I pray, Lord, today that I needed to hear this, and I pray if there's somebody that knows you as their Savior needed to hear this, Father, I thank you for that message. I pray, Lord, that that would wrap your arms around them and let them know, I got you. You belong to me. This world is screwy, it's messed up, but you belong to me and I've got a place for you. Love on those people today, Father. Let them know that you deserve the praise. Keep their eyes on you, Father, because you are the only one that's worthy. Father, if there is somebody here today that has not given their life to Jesus,